You are one of a kind, created to be exactly the way you are. The gifts you have inside of you are as diverse as the spices that make up his garden. Together, the fragrance is refreshing and clean. Individually, they are designed for a specific purpose. Spices give flavor and awaken our taste buds. Just as you, your personality adds zest to the lives that you touch. Embrace who God created you to be and enjoy those around you. Accept yourself and allow yourself to have fun. Find the things in life that bring you joy. Give every situation the chance to mold you into a confident, caring, and unselfish human being. Let others be blessed by knowing you. You are amazing, just the way you are. So, Father, today I choose to be happy being me, with all my quirks and unique point of views. Not everyone is going to like me, but you do, and that's what matters. I'm comfortable being who I am. My individuality adds spice to the lives of those around me. I don't have to impress everyone, but I do need to live in a way that honors you. Let my personality mingle with the beauty of yours. And the verse that he has attached to this is the Song of Songs, chapter 6, verse 2. It says, "My lover has gone down into the garden of delight, to the flower beds of spices, to feast with those pure in heart." I trust that is us, pure in heart. So again, every song that we sang, every worship word that we sang today, I feel brought hope. And I just have a short message for you about hope today. We all have hope meters. But whether you believe it or not, we all have a hope meter. And it looks kind of like a gas gauge. It's got empty E on one end and F for full on the other end. And as we walk through life, that hope meter hopefully staying on the full side, but it probably does move from side to side. Because we look at news or maybe even our own personal difficulties, our heart seems to turn one way or the other. So does it turn to fear? Does it turn to discouragement? Or maybe even disengagement? Let's just go and hide somewhere. Or does it rise up in hope? And I'm hoping that for your sake, that it rises in hope. So in these turbulent times, it could be easy to get disheartened about the future. But I have great news for you. You've heard this before. The story isn't over until the story is good. Or the story isn't over. Yeah, if the story isn't good. The Father's House by Corey Ashbery sings those words. That means there's always a hope. So the story isn't over if the story isn't good. So hope is often described as the ability to confidently trust, wait, and expect something good in the future. That's a pretty good definition. But for a believer, hope is so much more than that. Hope is a person. We have a God who not only never loses hope, but whose very nature is hope. And in Jeremiah 17:13, his name Yahweh, or Migveh, is actually, the definition is the Lord our hope. So even his name, his very nature says that he is a God of hope. So as we place our hope not in circumstances or in outcome, but we place our hope in a person, and that is Jesus Christ. And that way we find ourselves anchored and immovable through every storm. You know, we can go back again and again and again this last year and a half or so. There have been many storms. Whether you came down with COVID or someone you know or loved did, or you know someone that lost their job, maybe even lost a house, there's been a lot of hopelessness out there in the last couple years, even more, I think, than what was going on before that. But we have something that we can offer. God Himself is the object of our highest hopes, and He never lets us down. Romans 15:13 says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him." I think that's a good trade. I get joy and peace. All I have to do is trust God. Two for one. It's a twofer. I like that. So, the God of hope fill you with joy and peace and trust in you so that you may abound with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's really what magnifies that hope within us, the power of the Holy Spirit living within us. So when we need hope, God comes and fills us to overflowing with Himself. Hope is not something wishful dreaming. It's not wishful dreaming. It is faith and assurance that the God who is who He says He is will always be faithful and true to His nature. Our hope comes from the God who is the God of hope. So easy for me to have faith in a God that is so faithful that I put my hope in a God that is so faithful. You know, we put our hope and trust sometimes in people. We have to, as life goes on. And sometimes we get failed. People fail us or disappoint us or even hurt us. But we know that God never will, because God is good and He is a God of hope. There are many, many scriptures. I've got 100 promises from God here if you want some proof, because they have scripture verses behind each one of them. So as Christians, as leaders, we are to be providers of this abounding hope. Providers in a world desperate for the assurance that it's going to be okay. What do you think people in Afghanistan need now more than ever? They need hope that God is going to protect them, rescue them, cover them, provide for them. There's so many things that are going to change in that country and have already changed. You know, we know we've already lost some servicemen and 100 and some Afghanistanians. Can't say that right. So they need this hope that I'm talking about today more than ever. So again, the story isn't over. So as we share this currency of heaven, we empower people to arise out of victimhood. And that's really what hopelessness causes. It causes people to feel victimized. But we need to be the catalysts for change and transformation in their lives and in the spheres around them. You know the old rock in the water, the pebble, how that just keeps on moving. You affect one person, and they affect a person, and they affect a family, and they affect a neighborhood and a community. And that's really how we have to look at this. We have to bring hope to one person at a time, whomever the Lord brings into your path. You need to be a hope carrier. As Steve Backlund says, "The future indeed will be better than the present. And we have the power to make it happen so." Remember that you have the power to make life better for someone else just by bringing hope, by speaking something into their lives. So I just want to go over a couple quick keys to inspire hope to others. And the first way is you have to cultivate an internal environment of hope. You have to lead yourself. David encouraged himself in the Lord. So we can lead others well as well. But before you become a lifeguard, you have to learn how to swim. That's original. I made that up, by the way. So again, it's just to prove a point. You have to lead yourself well before you can lead someone else, before you can bring hope into someone else's life. The second thing is think hope-filled thoughts. What you focus on is what will grow most. So make sure it's what you're focusing on is in alignment with God's thoughts. One of my favorite verses is in Philippians 4, and it talks about think on these things. So I encourage you to read Philippians 4, 4 through 13 today. But 8 and 9 are the key verses there that talk about what you should be thinking about, pure and holy things. What you focus on, again, grows the most. If you look in my backyard, you will know that I've been focusing on my plants this year. I've been watering them religiously 1 to 2 times a day. And they are, and with all this heat, they are really blossoming well. That's just an illustrated sermon for you. Another thing, you need to monitor your self-talk. You have to make adjustments that are necessary to maintain a hopeful mindset. What are you saying? What are you speaking out loud? I don't know what you're thinking, but I do know what you're saying if I'm around you. I hear what you have to say. So we have to think hope-filled thoughts. We have to speak hope-filled words. Evaluate yourself. I know I have a spouse that is extremely honest with me. I could have said brutally, but it's for my good. When she's extremely honest with me, it's for my good. So it's not brutal. And that's what friends are for. They need to speak into your life when they hear you saying the wrong things, thinking the wrong things through your lips. When you connect with people, make sure that they feel seen and cared for right where they are. If they're hurting, you need to hurt with them. You need to pray for them. You need to be intentional. I know I've shared this story before, but when we first moved into the Pewaukee area with our church, we went in to see the police chief at the time, who happened to be someone that I went to the same high school with. And we went in, and surprisingly, we asked him where were the areas and what were the needs of the city that we could pray into. And he turns around and pulls this graph with all these pictures of these people that are on there. And he says, these people are coming up from Chicago and they're selling drugs into our neighborhood. So we promised that we would pray into that. Because 2 weeks later, they made a bust, and I think 13 of the 14 people that were on, and I was surprised that he even showed it to us, but they were arrested. And so you don't know what your prayers can do, the power of prayer. So know your community, and then be intentional about doing something about it. And engage in the circle that you have around you. We all have a circle of influence. Some maybe larger than others because you come across more people. But we need to create a vision for what the future is going to look like for them. And what are the next steps that they need to take to walk into that future. We have friends that love to ask us questions. And there's times where I start out when we get together with them and I say, No questions tonight. I feel like I get a sozo every time I get together with them. But they ask us questions. They ask tough questions sometimes. We all have people in our lives that need hope. Jesus might be the first step for them. Maybe they already have Jesus. Maybe there's another first step. But I guarantee you that for many people that we come in contact with to bring hope, Jesus is the first step that they need to take. So again, hope is the currency of heaven. So start spending it. It really never runs out. You're never going to run out of offering hope to people. Just keep encouraging them with positive words. Words, again, that line up with the Word of God. That's why we need to know the Word of God, so we can offer those promises to them. If you'd go to the slide now for me. I was reading this week, and I came across Psalm 42, and I really believe it is a psalm that brings a lot of hope. So I just want to go through, I have three slides with Psalm 42 on it, and as we go through them, I pray that you will be encouraged by it today. Verse 1, I long to drink of you, O God, to drink deeply from the streams of pleasure flowing from your presence. My longings overwhelm me for more of you. Now, if you look at the other versions, this is the Passion Translation. The footnotes for that one verse, it says, the literal Hebrew, as the deer pants for the river's bank or the river's edge. This translation takes the metaphor of a hunted deer and it puts it into terms that transfer the meaning into today's context. So David was describing the passion and longing he had that was yet fulfilled. And that's how he wrote verse 1. Verse 2, my soul thirsts, pants, and longs for the living God. I want to come and see the face of God. As I read this, I want you to picture this taking place in your life. Verse 3, day and night my tears keep falling and my heart keeps crying for your help, while my enemies mock me over and over, saying, where is this God of yours? Why doesn't he help you? Have you ever been there? Verse 4, so I speak over my heartbroken soul. Take courage. Remember when you used to be right out front leading the procession of praise, when the great crowd of worshipers gathered to go into the presence of the Lord? You shouted with joy as the sound of passionate celebration filled the air and the joyous multitude of lovers honored the feast of the Lord. I look at this as a kind of a mountaintop experience for us. You know, when we were out there, everything was going, yeah! And then the opposite happens. Verse 5. So then, my soul, why would you be depressed? Why would you sink into despair? Just keep hoping and waiting on God, your Savior. For no matter what, I will still sing with praise, for you are my saving grace. Here I am, depressed and downcast. Yet I will still remember you as I ponder the place where your glory streams down from the mighty mountaintops, lofty and majestic, the mountains of your awesome presence. Verse 7. My deep need calls out to the deep kindness of your love. Your waterfall of weeping sent waves of sorrow over my soul, carrying me away, cascading over me like a thundering cataract. Now, cataract isn't a word I use in my daily verbiage, but the picture is really like if you've ever been to Niagara Falls, we have, and you took that little boat ride at the bottom of the falls, right as close as they can get you before you get poured on. That's what the cataract is. It's like a thundering waterfall over you. Again, another visual aid for you. Verse 8. All through the day, Yahweh has commanded his endless love to pour over me. Through the night, I sing his songs and my praises to the living God. Other versions use "and my prayers" instead of "my praises." Verse 9, I will say to God, you are my mountain of strength. How could you forget me? Why must I suffer this vile oppression of my enemies, these heartless tormentors who are out to kill me? Their wounding words pierce my heart over and over while they say, where is this God of yours? So I say to my soul, don't be discouraged. Don't be disturbed. For I know my God will break through for me. Then I'll have plenty of reasons to praise him all over again. Yes, he is my saving grace. It's an awesome psalm. 2 Timothy 1:7, we know this too. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. It's part of the full armor of God. Again, it's a great trade-off. All we have to do is give him our fear. He gives us power, which represents strength. He gives us love, which is endurance. He gives us a sound mind, which is wisdom. That's what you need, all three of those to get on through life. You have to have strength and love and a sound mind. Again, he gives us a great trade-off. So the definition of hope again, to expect with confidence, to trust, a desire and accompanied by expectation of or belief in a fulfillment. Expectation of fulfillment, success. That was one of the words they used in hope, is success. So what are you hoping for today? Trusting in Jesus Christ is the way, and it's really the only way. One last word from Marcia Burns today. She says, be still and hear what I have to say to you. Where there has been confusion and uncertainty, I will bring clarity so that you can see and understand what has been holding you back. You will be able to identify the obstacles that have blocked your progress. And I will give you foresight to know what you must do next. I'm sure there's someone in here that has been hoping for a situation to change, a relationship to be healed, a body to be healed. Like I said, a situation to take a complete turnaround for you. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. We may not know or understand everything in the Bible, but we do know Jesus is coming again. He'll keep his word. He'll demolish sin. He will right every wrong. He will make all things new and reign as our loving King forever. So now that's a great ending that leads to our new beginning. So today, I'm just going to ask you to find someone to pray with. I'm going to ask you to possibly move from your chairs, from your table. Don't pray with your spouse, pray with someone else. But find someone to pray with today. Spend some of that hope currency that you have. that God has given each one of us to share with others. So, Father, I thank you that you are truly the God of hope, that you've given us a never-ending currency to share with others. Nothing is impossible with you. We have a hope and a future. The Holy Spirit will guide us to all truth. God's peace will guard you. He has plans for you. His joy is truly your strength. And the righteous shall lack no good thing. So, Father, we thank you for these promises and for all the promises that are filled, that fill your word. Promises for us of a hope and a future. Father, we know that you are a good, good Father. We've experienced your blessings time after time. Now, Lord, as we minister one with another, as we take time intentionally to speak to one another, I pray that your Holy Spirit would move in each life, bringing hope, peace, joy, and love. We give you thanks and praise now and ask you to bless the rest of this day. In Jesus' name, amen.